Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. As students and teachers head back to the classroom for the new school year, justices of the state Supreme Court will be hearing arguments this week in the latest iteration of the landmark Leandro education funding case. At issue, whether the court can and will order state legislators to meet their constitutional duty to provide every student with access to a sound basic education. And as the lawyers prepare to address the court, a prayer vigil will be taking place across the street at the old state Capitol building in Raleigh, led by Pastors for North Carolina Children. And earlier this week, I caught up with the Wake County mom who serves as the group's executive director, the Reverend Suzanne Parker Miller.
Welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This group, Pastors for North Carolina Children, it's an incredibly ambitious, important group that's doing really important work. And I said, tell us about it. How did this come about? Why does this group exist? And what are some of the things you're really championing these days?
Absolutely. Well, it started in 2019, actually, and started really launching publicly in 2020, right before the pandemic hit. But I'm a parent of public school children here in Wake County and had been doing advocacy work on behalf of schools and realized the need to bring faith communities into that conversation around supporting public education across our state, and connected with our sister group, Pastors for Texas Children, that had started in 2013, and we expanded into North Carolina. So now we cover 8 states in the Southeast.
Well, talk a little bit more about why there's this intersection, you would say, between faith and school funding. What's the connection there?
The connection for us is that public schools are part of our common good. Public schools have become the safety net, the social safety net for so many of our children, especially those who come from low wealth families, who are in rural areas, who just don't always have access to what they need to flourish and thrive. And so we know schools are filling in those gaps. So for us, it's really important to support the schools as a way to love our neighbors, as a way to especially love those children who might be falling through the cracks of our society, that, you know, the teachers see the needs, the schools know what these children and families need. And so we want to be able to support that in order to support the children. We want children to flourish.
You've been talking to congregations about the Leandro case. This is this never-ending, long-standing, going on 30 years old case in North Carolina that is wrestling with the very way we fund our public schools in North Carolina. And we're on the verge of having a very important new hearing before the state Supreme Court about it. What kind of reaction do you get from folks? Are they surprised that this case is still around? Do they know about it? What are you finding out as you go around?
When I've been meeting with groups, I usually start by asking them 1 to 5. You've never heard of the case. 5, you could do a presentation on it. And most of the time I get 1s and 2s. Most people have just not heard of it, even though it's been around for, 28 years and so on. Most people just aren't familiar with it. It's not on their radar. And so we're really trying to make sure that people are aware of it and know that it's not just important for families with children in public schools. It's important for all of us because it contributes to the economy of our state. It contributes to growth in businesses and opportunities. It's not just about children in the classroom. It's about our entire communities. Public schools are a huge employer in our state. They're the top employer in, I think, about 55 counties and one of the top 3 in like 94 of the 100 counties in our state. So, this is not just the children. It's all of the employees of our state that are being affected by and will be affected by the funding that Leandro would provide the resources.
Yeah, we should say that, of course, the Leandro ruling going back 25 years established that every child in our state has a right to a sound basic education. But over the last quarter century, we have been debating how to provide that and whether it's been provided. We've had repeated findings that many children are not receiving a sound basic education. They don't have a good enough teacher. They don't have small enough class size. We now have a very comprehensive report that says what it would take. Our legislative leaders believe that their recently passed state budget allocates enough, but I take it probably that's not your perspective on where things stand.
No, we don't believe that the Leandro Comprehensive Remedial Plan is a menu, as it seems the legislature wants to fund parts of it. But it is a full plan, and it all needs to be implemented to be able to meet the state constitutional requirements. for the sound basic education. And so we want to be sure that every child has a well-qualified principal in their school, that they have well-trained teachers and diverse teachers who represent and look like themselves. We want to have teachers receiving the professional development that they deserve and need to keep up their skills and to continue to grow. We want to be sure that children have adequate bus drivers and cafeteria, you know, child nutrition service workers, nurses, psychologists, sociologists, social workers, all of those big positions that are so important to the functioning of our school and really make sure that our children are being provided what they need to learn in the classroom, and that the teachers are not having to be social worker and counselor and that they can focus on the teaching that they are professionally qualified to do.
So we have this plan. We know what it would cost. We know that the legislature has the money, at least right now. The state has a lot of money in the bank, but they've only maybe allocated half of what it would take for this first year. So now it's coming before the state Supreme Court again. I take it your hope that the court will issue some sort of directive to the legislature. Hey, come on, guys, you've got to do this now.
Absolutely. And we don't know what that's going to look like, but we were one of the 144 signers onto an amicus brief in support of this case, because we do think it is truly that important. This is landmark legislation for North Carolina, and we can't wait. We've been waiting for 28 years. We've had multiple generations of children now go through our schools that were inadequately resourced. It's harmful. We want to do no harm. We want to be sure that they can have what they need. You know, and Leandro is not a world-class education that we're advocating for yet, which is really what our children deserve. We are trying to get into the building. We are in the basement. We are at that very absolute basement level of funding, and we're just trying to get to the minimum required by the Constitution. And it's not an issue of taxes. It's not an issue of a lack of funds. We have the money. Our legislators are just not choosing to spend it where we feel like it should be. And so, yes, we hope that something comes of this case that will provide that funding. And what that is, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. We want to see action. We're tired of lip service. We want to see action.
We're talking with the Reverend Suzanne Parker Miller, who's the executive director of Pastors for North Carolina Children. So y'all have an event scheduled, right, coming up this week that will coincide with the case coming before the Supreme Court. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. We are hosting a prayer vigil on Wednesday morning, August 31st. It is going to be on the steps of the Capitol on East Morgan Street in downtown Raleigh. And we are going to be praying for the children of our state, for education, for educators, for all of those that this case affects. We're going to be lifting them up, lamenting the 28 years that this case has been going on, and hoping in the fact that we know that we can do something different if we make different choices. And so we're going to be lifting that up. It's ecumenical, it's interfaith. Everyone is welcome. That'll be starting immediately after the 9 a.m. press conference that Every Child NC, our coalition partners, will be hosting. And the reason we've chosen this date and time is because that is when the Supreme Court case begins for North Carolina's Supreme Court to yet again hear this Leandro case. And right now we're only fighting over years 2 and 3, as I understand it, of the funding. It's an 8-year plan. So we're in this for the long haul. It is worth fighting for.
Probably there are some people who may find it difficult to make a midweek event. Are there other ways that you would urge people to become involved, or how they maybe make their voice heard?
Absolutely. Two big things that I can tell you about right now. One is that Pastors for North Carolina Children, if you visit our website, pastorsfornorthcarolinachildren.org, we offer Mission Amplify, which is a new curriculum that we have written that is engaging faith communities across the state, other organizations, community groups, in a letter writing campaign. And it's an advocacy curriculum, teaching people how to be able to engage with legislators and let them know, you know, what we stand for. It's also a chance to educate voters so that when they go to the polls in November, which is very, very important, that people are voting pro public education. We're nonpartisan and would never tell anybody who to vote for, but we want people to be educated about Leandro specifically so that they know a little bit more before they go into the ballot box. Also, secondly, we would hope that people would look at our coalition page, which is everychildnc.org. This is a group of over 50 organizations, the ones who organized the 144 signers for the brief. And we are working across the state in all different types of fields, working together to push forward this Leandro legislation. And it's an absolutely incredible group. So if you're not interested in the faith community aspect, look at other groups that are a part of our coalition who are extremely engaged in this work. And that's everychildnc.org.
The Reverend Suzanne Parker Miller is the Executive Director of Pastors for North Carolina Children. You can find their website, pastorsfornchildren.org. Reverend Miller, one more time, this event that's coming up on the 31st. It's downtown Raleigh, 9 o'clock, am I right?
9 o'clock a.m. on the steps of the Capitol, the South Plaza of the Capitol. And we invite everyone to come out and join us. And we'll be live streaming it to our Facebook page as well.
Check them out online, folks. Be there if you can. Thanks so much for your service to our state, Reverend. We look forward to hopefully getting a good result out of the court and maybe checking in later in the year about the work of your fine organization.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. Producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.